Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Fronger.
Hey, this is Advice from a Dipshit, episode number 6. We're back and still on top, still the number one podcast in the world. Look it up. No. Thank you to everyone who's made it, God, to my mind, already a fantastic success. We got tons and tons of downloads. Remember to rate it. You know, we always say that. Go on iTunes and rate it. Give us a bunch of stars, minimum 24. I'm pretty sure I know how it works. yeah. But it's been gold. So thanks for coming along with us on this wild ride. And let's just never stop. Thanks to Amanda and to all the people who call in. And with no further ado, fuck it. Okay. Let's do the first call.
Hold on. Okay. I have a gift.
Okay.
Yeah. I did. Since because we launched the podcast, yes. And it was a great first episode, I got glasses. But read what it says.
Oh, my God. Okay. I've never shared this, but I'm just going to read the glass and explain.
Yeah.
It says, may St. Kevin Bacon bring unto us many blessings of good recordings, laughs, and greasy skillets. When Amanda and I first started, and we still do, this is thank you.
These are
fantastic.
Okay.
When we meet at a place nearby and have...
I just brought out two beers because I still wanted to pop a cork, but I didn't want to drink a champagne.
Those are not just beers. Those are Belgian beers. Those are the strongest beers in the world.
No, so I'm not planning on having like the whole thing. I don't want to get like schwasty on this podcast.
Sure.
But I just was like, oh, champagne. Like we're not.
Yeah, no.
The usual with this.
Yeah, it's like middle of the day.
But I still, it's like super the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. But I still wanted like the cork popping,
that's
like
awesome.
the satisfaction of that.
Fuck yeah.
So I brought two because I didn't know what kind of beer you prefer, but I like Belgians are my favorite.
Yeah, no, I love Belgian beers. We meet at this coffee shop sometimes.
Uh-huh.
I won't say which one. I don't want to get them, mobbed and asking for us because this thing, you know, now we're at like, I think a billion downloads an episode. I think it's roughly a billion. But no, we jokes aside, both times we met there when we were first even talking about working together and getting the ball rolling, both times Kevin Bacon like the real Kevin Bacon, like no shit.
We showed up a week apart, mm-hmm. on different days, totally, and different times.
Totally different days. Kevin Bacon chilling. And it was one of those things where it's like, we're both like, I don't say anything to him, but fuck yeah, look at Footloose. He's right there. And 6 degrees of separation. Yeah, literally a reference point for knowing anyone or being in any movies. And a woman came right up to him and was like, oh my God, are you Kevin? And he's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like just leaning in the door jam, cool as a cuke. So shout out to Kevin Bacon. So like that's been a running gag.
It's the patron saint.
Saint Bacon.
It's the patron saint of the podcast.
He is the patron saint. So.
Yeah. So that's why I loved these.
These are great.
Yeah.
These are so awesome.
Isn't that so fun? How fun.
Yeah. Super great.
Right?
Super great. Yeah.
So, do you want to do this or? No, it's fine. Let's just say that we did. I'll just edit in a cork pop.
Yeah, edit in a cork pop.
All right, everybody. And then I'm going to take those home. I'm going to take those home for myself later then.
Yeah, do it. Please do it.
But isn't this so
these
fun?
So
these
badass.
Are so fun. So I'm going to leave them here. I'll leave them here when we record. And then this is what we can have like water and stuff out of.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Hey, yeah, totally. Oh, I thought it was great.
Such a great idea.
Okay. Let's get to it now. Yeah. I was so excited. It just, everything went so well.
So cool.
Hi, Matt. This is Kat. I'm actually looking for some advice. I'm moving to Portland in the next 48 hours, and I just wanted to know some advice. I've never actually moved across states. This will be my first big move. What's your best advice? What do I need to know? But, yeah, let me know. Thanks.
Oh, hey, Kat. I assume, first off, you're kind of asking me because I grew up there. I'm assuming you mean Portland, Oregon, and not Portland, Maine. In modern parlance, when people say Portland, they mean Portland, Oregon. So I'm just going to assume, you know, though Portland, Maine is a badass place. And first off, just Portland-specific advice is a lot of people move there a lot. You know, be friendly and taste what the city has to offer. It's a ton of awesome stuff here, an hour and a half from the ocean, an hour and a half from the mountains. explore. There's great restaurants, insanely great restaurants, in fact, and bars and things like that. Boy, but in terms of Portland life, geez, what advice? I haven't actually lived there as a resident since I was like 18 when I left for college, and then I came back and got a DUI when I was 28. So I lived there for 4 months. So, hey, don't drink and drive. That's my advice to you, because then you have to move in with your parents like I did at a kind of a late age. But in terms of the larger scheme of things, it's interesting. You're moving, you said, from a faraway place. That's kind of the best thing you can do for a fresh start, to just kind of check things out. So just take a deep breath and experience. And try not to get too caught up in romantic wistfulness about where you were and where you are now. Because we tend to kind of go like, oh, fucking, why did I do this? And because it's good. It's good to make a jump and go somewhere else. I think you're going to an awesome place. I hope you've priced out rent and employment, because it's kind of tough there. Hint, hint. But at the same time, there's room for everybody wherever they want to go, kind of thing. I mean, I live in Los Angeles and people move here by the fucking truckload daily. And somehow we seem to still make it work. So just give yourself some space to kind of stretch out. But at the same time, I would set like kind of a timeline for yourself to get things done, a la, you know, get an apartment if you don't already, get a job, la la la. And hey, shit, make some friends. Get out there and do the things you like to do, and see if you can find your tribe, as they say. So good luck to you, Kat.
Hey, Mr. Bronger. Love your stuff. My name's Dean, and I have a question about bowel movements. So my wife has always found it funny and weird that I can poop between 3 to 6 times a day, while she can usually squeeze maybe one out a day. Wow. Am I pooping too much? Have a great night.
Hey, man. It's so funny because I am maybe not as regular as you, but I'm super regular. And my wife basically has the same deal. Put it this way, she'll just be like pooping and a peeing when she walks by the bathroom. That's like if she makes fun of me. No, man, listen, I'll put it this way. I remember going to a doctor and being like, do I have a problem if I'm taking a lot of craps? And he's like, well, do you feel faint? Do you feel like you're losing nutrients and vitamins and things? I'm like, no. He's like, no. He's like, going a lot of times is not a problem. It's like never going that's the problem, is what I've been told. I mean, don't take medical advice from this dipshit, so to speak. But generally speaking, I think you're fucking fine, man. You're definitely ripe for being made fun of. I have, you know, you probably have the same thing I have, which I call an excited to meet people butthole, where if I have to go, if I'm about to go someplace, it's like, oh, my butt's like, knock, knock. Hey, man, I got to take a crap. You know, and it's like, I make everyone wait, or like, people are coming over the moment they come in the door. I'll be right back. It's the most fucking annoying shit. It doesn't happen too often, thank God, because I regulate my intake of coffee and things like that. But yeah, dude, I really wouldn't worry. I mean, talk with your doctor next time, but it does not sound like a problem. It's just something your wife's going to make fun of you for. And same thing I get, dude. So join the club, and let's never actually form a club. All right, next call.
Hey, Matt, this is Mike in Chicago. In a month or so, I'm hosting an annual corn dog party that me and some friends throw.
Fuck yeah.
And we're trying to come up with some new sauces to have this year. Something original. We like to make some stuff from scratch and just come up with some cool flavors. And I thought, you know, you might have some good ideas that we could try out. I really appreciate your feedback. Thank you much. Bye.
I don't know about sauce ideas. Kind of everything under the sun's been come up with. First off, congratulations on your hot dog party. Excuse me, corn dog party. Almost started a war. I would advise one thing I've kind of discovered to use in sauces. Rather than use salt, use fish sauce, but just a couple dashes. It's crazy salty, but it's like really freaking good. It's like pure umami. It's like pure unctuousness. So try that if you're like going to add salt to any of the sauces. Try it like a dash. Taste it first, because fish sauce is crazy funky, but I like funky food. And I try to stay funky fresh. So congratulations, Captain Corndog, and very cool. Let's do the next call.
Hey, Matt. I am going to have to travel for business, and as much as I love traveling and going to new places, I really fucking hate having to deal with, like, traveling for business, going to a place I don't want to go, and I always end up being, like, bored and tired and not happy and I eat garbage food, and it's all bad things. And I know that you spend a lot of time on the road. I'm curious to see what tips you might have for somebody to kind of keep themselves sane while they're away from home. Thanks, man.
Yeah, man. I know exactly what you're going through, that kind of dislocation and isolation, and just how do you pass the time? How do you not just sit in your hotel room getting drunk and masturbating? Yeah, I get it. I would try, as far as the bad food goes, if you're buying bad food to comfort yourself, Google the local vegan place, and you know, check for ratings. Check like a highly rated vegan place, because there's a lot of good vegan junk food. It's not good for you, but at least there's no cholesterol. So that's like a good kind of compromise you can give yourself. You can have comfort food, but it won't kill your heart. And you know, check out health food places. Check out places that sell healthy snacks. Get some of those for your room. Give yourself, you know, some stuff that maybe doesn't have to be refrigerated, but you won't eat it all, and put it in your room. Have some of that. One thing I like to do is stop for a drink or two, but just don't stay all night, and give yourself a moment to decompress with like a glass of wine, and then, you know, maybe have one more and then get the hell out, and then kind of wander around. I also like going to movies is a fun one. Maybe you have a hang up about going alone. Fuck that shit. It's 2018. Get out there and see a movie by yourself, because it is highly, highly, highly underrated, I feel like. And just FYI, we are recording in my living room, so you might hear a guy with a leaf blower outside. And hey, that's his thing. What are we going to do? It's just in the background. I don't want someone, you know, some audio nerd to be like, there's clearly something going on. You should pick another studio, because, you know, whatever you're paying them. We don't have a studio. Even with a billion downloads an episode, we don't have a studio. Also, I don't know if you're a reader. It's a really good opportunity to just fucking put your feet up and read. Make sure, I would say, mostly, don't watch too much TV. It hurts your eyes. And having it on all the time as a constant accompaniment and make you feel less alone is something I'm no stranger to. But after a while, it just wears on your psyche. So what I like to do is I don't watch TV before 5, or try to push it to 6. And then I watch how many hours I watch, and I keep it to 2 to 3. You know, as if I'm my own child. So I hope that helps, man. Yeah, it's funny. Now it just sounds like he's just standing in the walk out front of my house, just revving it. Just like, come out, motherfucker. I heard what you said. All right, let's roll the next call.
Hi, Matt. I have a dipshitty question for you.
Perfect.
My sister has a peanut butter allergy, and she will not stop talking about it. It's like her favorite topic of conversation. I can barely get through a conversation with her without hearing about how, like, her flight was terrible because somebody in her row ate a peanut and she could smell it and it was awful. Or, like, she couldn't eat the cake that somebody brought to the office because there was no extensive ingredient list on the box that she couldn't read to find out that it didn't ever come in contact with any peanut butter. One time, a couple years ago, we spent Christmas together for a week, and just for funsies, I decided to keep track of how many times it came up. And in a week, she mentioned it 36 times, 36 comments about her peanut butter allergy. She's even got, like, jargon that she's made up. Like, she'll say, oh, I couldn't eat those cookies because they were may-contain. And it's super annoying and nobody cares. But I know if I told her that nobody cares, it's super annoying, and she probably stopped doing it, she would call me a bitch and keep doing it anyway. So far, my strategy has been to kind of just, like, minimally respond when she starts into the peanut butter talk, but she has not taken a hit so far. I know that I should probably take the high road and just let her talk about her peanut butter allergy, because I know it seems like she thinks it makes her interesting or special, but I don't really want to take the high road because she's my sister and I don't have to. So what would you do? Thanks.
Wow. Well, I mean, I'm sorry to laugh, but you have a very funny delivery. And I mean, you're obviously very fed up with your sister talking about her peanut allergy. But I would say, just to play devil's advocate for just a moment, just keep in mind that this is not like someone being like, oh, I'm a vegan, or I'm allergic to gluten, which I think like half of 1% of us are, something crazy. the peanut allergy, like, she could probably die if she eats a peanut or two. I don't know how the whole thing goes. That said, that would be very, very annoying. I think maybe my advice is loose, but maybe use humor. I wouldn't say, you know, because your option was to tell her to shut the fuck up, which I'm sure if I were you, I'd probably want to as well. I'd probably just like, oh my God, enough. There was a time where there used to be this comedy forum. I think it still exists, called aspecialthing.com, that was like all comedy nerds and comedians, and they would interact and people would just post stuff. And there was a comedian who was at Aspen, and back then Aspen Comedy Festival was like the big deal. It was very hard to get into, and it was like if you were chosen to go, like you were kind of anointed. That's kind of the problem with festivals. People think like, oh, I didn't get in that festival. Does that mean I suck? Fuck no. They have the amount of people they can fit in and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, this person was a very outward, you know, hard on their sleeve person, kind of loud and stuff. And what they do is they would fly you in and put everyone on the same bus. So this guy was venting on this message board for everyone to see, for the world to see, about like he had a problem with going first on this lineup. And he's like, I can't go first. I'm too loud. You know, I alienate people. I can't, as we put it, take the bullet. If you go first on a comedy lineup, you're taking the bullet. I can't go, like, well, how can I? And he just kept posting and posting, and he kept posting like Aspen. And then Scott Aukerman, who of, you know, Comedy Bang Bang and everything, he wrote, hey man, are you at Aspen or something? And it was just fucking hilarious because he just mentioned Aspen so many times. It'd be like if someone was just like, I got accepted to Cannes and, you know, my film's going to show first at Cannes. And I don't know, this isn't good. This is not okay. I'm at Cannes and until someone walks up and like wrote online, hey man, are you at Cannes or something? And it was just a great call out. And I'm sure this dude thought it was funny, and I hope he had a good sense of humor about it. So my advice to you, my joke advice to you is, next time your sister is like, oh, ugh, I smell peanuts, like, I can't handle this, she'd be like, oh, babe, are you allergic to peanuts or something? You are? Whoa. You know, just give her something subtle like that and make sure it's when your parents are around. And don't do it snarky. Just be like, you know, make it fun. Like, that's nuts. You are? And it's like, I feel like she could like sort of like laugh and punch you in the arm. Like, shut up, you know. But it'll just plant a seed that, fuck, this is all you talk about. Talk about something else. We've cleared the neighborhood of peanuts. That guy that sells peanuts down the street, we murdered him. Like, Dad buried an axe in his head. You remember. We buried his body in the old orchard. I'm assuming all that happened. But thank you for calling in, and I'm sorry you got to put up with that. Okay, let's check the next call.
Hey, Matt. My name is Michaela. I'm calling back because there were some technical difficulties with my first call. So anyways, I got married about a month ago in Vegas with Elvis, and it was just me and my now husband. We did go ahead and send out announcements to all our relatives and stuff that do make reference to a reception at a later date, which we haven't planned. But my question is, what we should do about our registry, because he and I have enough stuff. We're just saving for our house that we want to buy eventually. So we don't really want people to get us stuff unless it's money. Yeah, that's just my question, is how to kind of let people know that, hey, you don't have to get us anything, but if you do, like, we really just want cash. We don't want, like, a bunch of other crap that's going to clutter up our house. Okay, so I think that's about it. Thanks so much. Love you. Bye.
Hey, wow. Love you. This is so weird. This is the second call I've gotten this episode that I can directly answer through experience. The first one was the excited to see people butthole guy. And I'm naming him. Like, he probably doesn't have the same level. He probably just randomly shits. Maybe not based on events like mine. But your question is exactly what my wife and I went through. You know, even though I got married at the super tender young age of 43, we had everything we needed. We didn't want to set up a registry. My wife was totally against it, which I was just like, yeah, exactly. We have all our appliances. We have all our stuff, and we were looking to buy a house. So what we did is we set up a website where
Charter.
It was not public. I forget what it was, but do a little Googling and check it out. But there are these things you can set up that just like for your wedding, where people would find a registry, say on the Save the Date site, they have to enter a code. And what you do is, you send a little card to everybody with that code, and they go on and you just write, "We would love to buy a house someday." So you don't have to get us anything, but if you'd like to donate toward our house fund, please do. That's what we did. We originally were thinking, oh, let's do a vacation thing. But that was kind of bullshitty, because what my wife and I do, we put all our frequent flyer miles together once a year, and then just pick an exotic place or just a faraway place or foreign place. And that's our vacation. We go, that's our once a year blowout. And so we're like, oh, let's do a big honeymoon. But it's we already kind of do that. We don't want, we don't need someone to fly us to Rome or any of that stuff. What we want is a freaking house. And I think congrats to you for not just being let's just have more shit, and for recognizing that it is a good idea. Once you're locked into the horrible bondage of a marriage, to have once you're in love and you're staying with that person and you're making it real, and you got married with Elvis, so that's forever. I meant it. I didn't mean that to sound shitty.
Get married by Elvis, fucking, it's definitely real.
Hey, when did he become such a prick? No. Go for the house. So, yeah, just set up a site. Because it's people just want to give you money. And frankly, honestly, it's easier than having to go through everything and go, oh, fucking, oh, shit, the toaster's taken. Oh, God damn it, the deep fryer's taken. Oh, all that's left is a stove. I'm not buying your fucking stove. Just don't set an amount. But just be like, it doesn't matter, guys. If you want to give, give. But don't break yourself. And that's a great idea. So that's really wild that you're asking the question of the person that went through the exact same thing, and I'm telling you what to do based on my example, which I'll kind of rarely do on this show. I am Captain Dipshit here. But that was a good call. So anyway, best of luck to you.
Okay, take three for advice for a dipshit. Not advice from a dipshit, advice for a dipshit, because I cannot articulate a question to save my life. But Matt, this one is for real. I really think your parents did a great job raising you, and I would like to know, as a parent myself, what's the number one piece of advice your parents gave you as a child that's really stuck with you into adulthood? Thanks so much. It's Steph in Portland, huge fan of yours, and can't wait till your next stop here in Portland, and for your next special to come out. When's that thing coming out? I'll be keeping my eyes peeled for announcements. But thanks for bringing back the podcast, and thanks to producer Amanda for deleting my previous advice from a dipshit question. Okay, that's all. Have a great night.
Thanks, Steph. That's very nice to hear. Actually, my parents failed horribly, so I never talked to them. No, they're the best. I can't really think of a piece of advice that was one thing they always told me, but it was more just I was privy to two people that really gave me a great example. They were they knew how to have fun. They worked hard. They talked to people. My mom would stand up for people when she saw them being, she saw someone being shitty to a waiter at a Chinese restaurant, and she just screamed at her. And I'm not saying you should do that, but it's a pretty sweet move, pretty badass thing she did. But it was more just to parent by example, to kind of take me all kinds of places and meet people and, take me on little protest marches, which I fucking hated when I was a kid, but I appreciate they did that. Yeah, they did. As for where I'm going to be, this is down the line, but I'm going to be at the Aladdin December 22nd, if I'm correct. So look on their schedule. It's going to be right around Christmas. It's a Friday. And And shit, I might as well plug something else. This week I'll be at Montreal and at JFL. So Steph, don't fly there. It's the festival's going on, and it'll be a madhouse and way too much, like you were thinking about it. But definitely come see me, the Aladdin. Like always, I get a bunch of amazing local killers to open for me. So, and awesome. Thank you for calling in and for being so sweet. And Portland forever. The special, by the way, is called Finally Live in Portland. So there you go. Yeah. So that's the end. As always, call in, everybody. 323-763-0228. If you've called before and we haven't played you, you can call again, but just not the same question. Add the Patty, as we call it. the Patreon, whatever, is at Advice from a Dipshit. And we're at Advice from a Dipshit on Instagram, and at Dipshit Advice on the old Twitter. So thanks, Amanda, and thanks everybody who called in. This has been Advice from a Dipshit, episode 6. Thanks, guys.
Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Bronger.